and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air, Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming worldwide at KCNR1460.com. Good morning. Today is the 2nd of October, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning. Good to be here on this Friday. And I'm going to give you a little...
wait a minute. Good morning to Jared. It's Hawaiian Shirt Friday.
Good morning.
Yes, yeah. And he says, yours doesn't look like a Hawaiian shirt, but it is. This is a Hawaiian shirt for me.
Yes.
It's a ninja Hawaiian shirt.
It is a ninja. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit, you know, when you're going to get up this morning, you're going to look outside and it's going to be smoky and overcast. It actually almost feels like Bay Area weather. It's interesting, but it's currently 65 degrees. Looks like we're going to have about 50% humidity today. As we look through what is going to be, we're going to have 101. That's the highs today with our overnight lows of 65. Tomorrow's going to be 100 with our overnight lows of 62. Sunday looks like 93. As we progress next week, 94, Tuesday, 95, and then our temperatures start to decline, with Wednesday being 88, Thursday, 82, and Friday, 79. But we're looking at this weekend right now. We're going to give you more of a weather update and some fire updates here. And with us this morning, of course, our pet of the week. We always love our Friday edition of Haven Humane. And this morning, good morning.
Jim's here with...
Good morning. I'm here with Macy this morning.
Okay. And Macy is just... She's just a little bundle of energy.
She really is. You noticed that, huh?
Yeah, I
and
noticed
very
that.
Strong.
Well, she came running over to me and dragging Jim like a plow. And yes. Which I thought that was amusing, kind of, but... No, she's not that bad. She came over, just wanted to say hello, wanted to sniff my hand and all this. I mean, a very friendly dog.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's like you said, when you saw her, typical pity, full of energy, really interested to meet all the people that she sees. You know, she's very responsive. I took her out for a little walk outside on the sidewalk before we came in here.
Okay. I sat down on the stool in here, and all of a sudden I had Pity up here looking at me in the face.
Exactly.
Went right, you know,
exactly.
Climbed on me, goes, hi!
Yeah.
She thinks every movement is an invitation to come play with her.
Oh, that's cute.
But,
that's cute. Macy.
Macy, yeah. She's about 2 years old. She's a really great dog. Like I was saying, she's really responsive. When I had her out for a walk, just a few minutes ago, she, you know, she pulls a little, but I stop moving. She stops, looks back at me, comes back to me, and then I start walking again.
Very trainable.
And it only
very
took her, trainable. Yeah, it only took her a minute to catch on that I wasn't going to move without her having a loose leash. So, of course, that all goes out the window when she sees a happy face and has to go give it a kiss. But you know, we all have our weaknesses.
We all have our weaknesses. You know, I've seen that many times with the Marines on leave. On Liberty. Okay, so how do we, in October 1st,
yes.
From now to the 3rd, you can get...
Exactly, yeah, we're doing the Bissell Pet Foundation's Empty the Shelter event, so started yesterday and we're going through tomorrow. Every adoption is only $10.
That's right.
I checked this morning, we still have a bunch of open appointment slots today and tomorrow, so give us a call today to make an appointment and we'll get you a new
pet. If you're looking for a new best friend... Or, you know, or a kitten. I look at dogs as being different types of best friends than kittens. Kittens will become your best friends, but you'll never know it. Where dogs will tell you right away.
Exactly.
You know, when a cat asks, hey, who's your best friend? Oh, my best friend is Jim.
I have two people I know recently have just adopted cats.
Yeah.
They just have adopted cats, and
well,
they're
right
just
now,
cat lovers.
Yeah, right now you can pick up any animal at Haven Humane for $10, and that includes... neutering, shots, chips. No, not Tostita chips.
No, microchips, yeah.
They're microchipped. All of that for $10, and this is a great time.
That's a wonderful time.
Yeah, it's a really good deal.
And it's right before the cool weather, which is great because, you know, I think it's nice to probably get acclimated with a dog around or a cat around this time as we're spending more time indoors, especially the smoke or whatever, as you're not out running around as much.
Look at the dog. Okay, she is flat out like a frog underneath the table, just kind of laying there looking around.
Is that typical pity? Do they stretch their back legs out like that?
I have seen that a lot with pit bulls. I don't know if it's, you know, a trait.
I had a Dalmatian that did that.
Yeah, very cute.
She's just laying there, like flat on her stomach, looking, going, "Okay, hey, this is okay. I like this rug. I can scratch my belly on this rug."
Cute, Macy. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, Jim, and we appreciate all the Haven Humane does.
Any last things you need to tell us here?
Well, you know, our phone number 241-1653, or shoot us an email via our website to make an appointment. You know, I'd also like to say we're out there helping feed a lot of the shelter-in-place animals.
Yes.
You need food.
Yes.
Okay. Hay.
Please.
You know, we're still taking care of large animals out there.
Correct.
So they need hay, alfalfa, or grass hay.
Exactly.
Michelle Nicole came in yesterday Tuesday and brought in a case of canned cat food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've got
around.
Of course, Michelle's a great person. But if you've got food, dog food, cat food, hay, deliver it down.
Chicken feed.
Chicken feed, yeah, that's another thing.
Dog and
20,
cat food.
What did you get, like 20 or 30 chickens?
I wish it was 20 or 30. We have about 100 right now.
Okay,
wow.
They have 100 chickens down there.
But we're also delivering it out to near the command post so that the animal control officers can go feed the animals that are sheltered in place.
Yeah.
We're also delivering dog and cat food to help the people who are displaced and not at home but need to feed their animals. So we would love some more dog and cat food to be able to go deliver as
go
well.
Go grab a 50-pound bag from someplace. I gave a donation the other day. And you can do that because then they can pick out the food they want.
That's great.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for what you all are doing. Again, you know, it's Haven Humane comes through during a time like
absolutely.
This.
Hey, Jared, you've got a couple pieces of music queued up I'd like to have you play. Yeah. I want to talk about a few people that passed away recently that are just wonderful, that the music really resonated in my life for many, many years. Do you have I Am Woman with Helen Reddy? All right. So it's very interesting. Okay, the dog, speaking of dogs, the dog had me up early this morning, so I really wanted to read about Helen Reddy. And she truly, in the 70s, was the first woman to really come out musically. And
not you. I'm telling him to keep the music going.
I want to keep it going,
That's what I said. That was my
statement. All right, so anyway, so Helen Reddy, the song I Am Woman, she was a feminist before her time. She never wanted to perform on the Dean Martin show. I saw this in an interview this morning, which is ironic. Because we opened our show when we opened for Dean Martin with I Am Woman. And she just thought, I don't want to be treated like, a thing. And I saw this in an interview this morning. She was Australian, became an American citizen. But boy, I talk about prolific. She had, she sold over 25 million records. So many hits during the 70s. But when she came out with I Am Woman in early 70s, it was the first time you know, somebody had really shifted it besides maybe, you know, songs like The Pill or whatever, or D-I-V-I-O-R-C-E. But anyway, Helen Reddy, rest in peace. And then we also said goodbye to another music legend, Mac Davis. And Mac Davis was an incredible songwriter. He has been inducted in the Nashville Hall of Fame, Country Music Artist of the Year. Wrote several songs for Elvis Presley, but later in life, and both these artists died at 78 years old. Mac Davis had heart surgery, complications from heart surgery. Wrote this song, of course. Elvis made it a big hit. And he just had another prolific songwriter with had his own television show, just like Helen Reddy. These singer-songwriters, performers were, you know, I'm a 70s girl, so they were very much alive in my time, where the music vibrated in my life in many, many ways. So I don't know how you feel about it, but, you know, I just wanted to do my own personal tribute to these two wonderful artists, Mac Davis, Helen Reddy. Are we too blind to see, or do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns, and a hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as the cold wind blows in the ghetto. We'll be right back. KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is Your Talk Radio on our Friday edition of Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Blatt.
Corporate bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State. So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for state senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 142-3306.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
I paid my dues time after time.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios at KCNR.
Are you all riled up?
1468. Well, you know what? During the break, you know, and I get pummeled by like three different people here. Good morning, everybody. It is the 2nd of October here, 7:20 in the morning. I want to talk about Carl Lindebot, Jared at the helm, in case anything messes up, then I can just point at him. And I want you, I'll give you his home phone number later.
want to talk about Carl and Lindebot? That's what I heard.
Yeah. What?
You want to talk about what?
You know what? Don't push your luck here.
Ooh.
I want to talk about the 7th Annual Iron Soldier Benefit Ride. That's going to happen Sunday. And it's $35 per rider. It includes ride shirt and lunch, $40 day of the event. So you can go down to the Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo at 1936 Twinview Boulevard. It's going to, all of the money goes to support our local veterans in the Homeward Bound program that's sponsored by the Northern California Veterans Museum. Check-in begins at 9 a.m. and you show up and have just a great ride. You stop for a drink and then for lunch at the end of it, and then come on back. It's going to be a great ride. I also wanted to talk about the Nick Dahl 2020 Memorial Golf Tournament that's going to be tomorrow out at the Grape Ranch Golf Club. Ted Leidy and myself will be there to welcome everybody and get everybody out onto the links. There's a lunch. This is for $75 per golfer. Includes 9 holes of golf, cart, lunch, 4-player golf scramble. Lunch-only ticket is $20 if you want to come out. If you can't play golf and you don't understand, well, I'm just not up to that, then you can always, always make a donation to the Nick Dahl Memorial Foundation. And for more information, give Pam Dahl a call at 227-7808. Nick served honorably in Iraq, in one of the hardest places there, came back home, and like many of our young men and women, started having some problems after that with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and fought it for years before he passed away. And all the money that goes from this will go to sheltering homeless veterans, to our veterans veterans programs here that provides housing for homeless veterans and helps them get back on their feet. It's a great cause, the Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament. Okay, we're here with Bill Mastin. I made him show up again. He's a retired.
Asked him kindly.
Well, I did ask him. But when he's not fighting fires and he's not teaching people how to fight fires, because he's an instructor at Shasta College at the Fire Academy, this is a man of infinite information.
Wisdom and a former chief.
Fire captain.
I said that at the beginning.
You're our chief. Yeah, but I just want to say it again.
Well, actually, Sandy's a chief, but so.
And his wife also has been involved in firefighting.
She works for Cal Fire right now.
Oh, she does. Okay.
Gosh.
I knew that she was looking to do that. Now, Bill, it seems like we've had some good news this whole week.
Yeah, some great news. I think the last time we met, of course, the weather wasn't.
It was Tuesday. It was
pushing the fire.
It was zero, Tuesday morning.
That's right. It was 0% contained, and they were screaming for people, right?
And you had read off their request, which anybody can read. It wasn't confidential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you put it on your website.
Right, that they were looking for 1,000 more firefighters. We had 700,
and they needed... We have 1,709 currently.
Well, let me guess. But see, you heard it first here, because they were asking it, plus all the equipment that goes with them.
Correct. And they're still asking for more help, right? So
where are we at this morning? Do you know?
We're about 46% containment, maybe up a little bit. When we talked about that 209 form that gives you the update that the incident team puts together, that didn't include the night operations. We talked about operational periods, so we have the day ops folks that are usually 12 hours and the night ops folks. A lot of progress can be made at night on wildland fires, particularly because the humidity goes up, temperature goes down. Usually the winds will subside, so it gives them the opportunity to be more aggressive in some of those areas and go direct attack and pick up those areas. So they obviously have done a magnificent job. They got help because they're kind of in competition with the glass fire in Napa County that's going through Calistoga and Napa and those beautiful winery and that area up there. So that competition is pretty stiff.
And grapevines burn just like anything else.
Correct. A vineyard, they figure it's $100,000 loss per acre of established vineyards. So, you know, you look at the impact onto people and businesses is substantial, without a doubt.
Well, you know what? The one thing that they wanted to do was keep it from Clear Creek, jumping Clear Creek.
Correct.
And which appeared to have happened because, can you explain our audience once more that what happens when the fire gets into those steep, narrow gullies and hills like that? Why is it so hard to fight?
Well, it's hard to fight because you try to get, when we talked fire moves either three ways. So it can be topography driven, it can be fuels driven, and it can be weather driven. So the start of the Zog was a weather driven event that pushed that fire. Everybody saw the smoke laid down just like an inversion column.
It was, looked like a fog bank out here.
Exactly.
It looked like a fog bank was coming in to Redding.
And the wind was bending it over.
Right.
In fact, the air ops folks couldn't even see the head. They could see it spotting way in front, but they didn't know exactly where the head of the fire was,
okay,
was chewing through.
The forward line.
Correct.
Okay.
The forward line, exactly. So those narrow, deep canyons, number one, to try to access them is tough. The danger to firefighters goes way up because the trees, they're precarious anyway. So once they start to burn, they'll, like Lincoln logs, they'll start to fall down. So it's extremely dangerous. The fire has a tendency that wind will channel in those narrow canyons, mm-hmm, and increase. And usually narrow canyons, because they're shaded, have a heavier fuel bed. So they're not cooked like what we call a southeast slope or aspect on a lot of the terrain. It's more baked because the sun's been beaten down and on day, and it's 103 today or whatever it is. And those narrow canyons, there's a lot more fuel beds. So now you have the topography and the fuels carrying that fire. If there's any little wind, if it's 12 miles an hour there, it's probably 24 miles an hour in that narrow canyon because that topography focuses the wind.
You've got a wind tunnel in there.
Exactly.
And from what you said the other day, it's difficult for aircraft to get in there and hit these things because
we talked about the aircraft. You know, they have people. Well, they had the 747 tanker, mm-hmm, that came through. That's called a global air tanker. That comes out of McClellan. That drops about 19,500 gallons of retardant. But it can't get in those narrow canyons.
Yeah.
So the next big one, what they call a VLAT, very large air tanker, is a DC-10, and it was flying out of McClellan, too, and it's about 9,500 gallons. Now, CAL FIRE does a really good job using the S-2 because it has the maneuverability. It doesn't carry that payload. It can be 8 to 1,200 gallons, but it can get closer into those deep canyons.
Now, the S-2 is a twin engine. Is that twin engine turbojet, right?
Turbo airplane. It's a prop plane.
Prop plane, right.
Yeah. There used to be a Navy subchaser, and then CAL FIRE rehabs and upgrades, you know, a lot of the engines and the avionics and stuff on them. But they have a real fast turnaround. It's like a pit crew.
Well, they come back to our airfield here?
Correct. That's
okay.
A reload base, a tanker reload base.
And the pit crew looks like a NASA. I don't know this stuff, my friends. I'm just repeating what Bill said the other day, but you said it's like a NASCAR pit crew.
Absolutely. They're a magnificent team down there at the tanker base, and they've pumped out well over 1 million gallons of retardant already.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're turning this fire itself.
Well, and they might have 2 to 3 load and return aircraft coming in at the same time. So
right. The
146s, some of those jets you see, they're about 3,000 gallons. And then the S-2s are coming around. So every, like a clock, they have these different stations that the deck coordinator will bring that fixed-wing aircraft in. A lot of times they'll hot load them. Is they'll keep everything running.
Yeah, the props are turning.
That's right, or the jets are idling.
The jets are idling.
And sometimes they might even get a little drink of fuel, right, because they want to go as light as they can on fuel to carry as much payload as they can. So that's how that works.
It's amazing when you think about it, when we were talking about it for all of our veterans out there. This is a military operation. You've got air bosses up in the air. You've got an airborne command and control. Your armor is your bulldozers, earth movers, masticators that are just chewing all this up. And the way it's fought with, different groups coming in. But the final and the most important part of firefighting is boots on the ground.
That's right. That you're standing and you own that ground now.
We're going to have to take a break. Bill Mastin is our special guest this morning. We're talking about the fires. Of course, we've had, you know, Bill is a retired captain from Los Angeles and teaches out at Shasta College. And this guy really knows everything fires. We've got calls coming in as well. This is Carla Linda Bott. We're going to thank one of our sponsors here this morning. And let's take a break. But right now, I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than a great night's sleep. And as we try to replenish ourselves from the stress and the chaos of what's going on with COVID, with fires, with elections, you name it. And it kind of feels like the planet's kind of in an upspin or whatever that, however you want to call it. So when you replenish yourself at nighttime for your sanity, it's great to go to a Sleep Number bed. And I know that I really like to change it with my individual settings. So last night my Sleep Number setting was 44.
And my Sleep Number setting was 55.
Oh.
Sometimes I'll run it up to 65. Sometimes, if it's been a really tough day, maybe I want to be cuddled, you know, twice. Yeah. I want to be, you know, once from Linda and once from my bed. I'll run it down a little bit lower. You know, the thing, you know, the other thing too is when you get up in the morning, before you just leap out of bed, give yourself enough time to sit there and, you know, and just kind of be quiet. And think about, you know, hey, this is what I'm going to do today. Before you come rushing out of the bed, give yourself a few minutes to compose yourself and think about it. You've had a great night's sleep. So, okay, this is what I'm doing. And then start your day. And right now, proven quality sleep is, as we know, is life-changing sleep, as Linda says. Save 25% on the Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed with any smart adjustable base. Plus special financing on all smart beds now through Tuesday, only at Sleep Number stores. Down in our Sleep Number store, of course, is in the Target Shopping Center, next to the Vitamin Shop. Great people down there. It's kind of like almost like one of those little Star Wars. It's kind of like you walk in there. It's got all these cool things in there. Of course, that's subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details. Now, this sale will go on now through Tuesday. We'll be right back with Bill Mastin. Talk more about the Zog fire and maybe an update about some other fires, because we've got the largest fire in California history is relatively close to us. 64 degrees out there, smoky, and it's going up to 100 today. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Mark Rosano, candidate for City Council. Did you know earlier this summer, Redding City Council sold a piece of land for $3,000 to a political opposition group in a bid to stop the Redding Rancheria's new casino, denying us 700 new jobs and millions of dollars for our local economy? I think it's just plain sleazy politics. When was the last time you could buy your own road for $3,000? Who knows? You probably could have got $300,000. The land in question is a strip of roadway specifically intended to prevent commercial access for the casino. Whether you agree with the casino project or not, our city council knowingly broke the law. Don't take my word for it. We're fortunate to actually have a real lawyer on city council who voted no because he knew the city would face litigation. Litigation that we, the taxpayers of Redding, would have to pay, which could cost tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to right a wrong. What did City Councilman DeQuista say?
I'll say it. It's sleazy.
A vote for me, Mark Mazzano, on November 3rd is a vote for a new voice in Reading. Paid for by the committee to elect Mark B. Mazzano, council member, City of Reading.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
The Second Amendment matters. Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. Recently, the California Rifle and Pistol Association delivered a resolution of support for the Second Amendment to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. And as of today, not a single board member has moved this resolution forward. The right of the people to keep and bear arms is as important today as it was ratified in 1791. I am Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA2 Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. PSA2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA2 HICAP services for more information, 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl Lindbott and Linda, always happy when you're here.
Of course. It's great to be here.
It's the air quality index is 138, which is unhealthy for sensitive groups. And for the first time, I can smell smoke in the studios for the first time. So we must have really settled down on us, at least during the night. So good morning, man.
Yeah, good morning. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, certified by the Joint Commission as an advanced primary stroke facility. Our team of experts provide preventive care and screening of high-risk patients, working together to provide high-quality care throughout hospitalization to discharge. Shasta Regional Medical Center healing starts here. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Ron Lim's on the line. And Ron, you've got something to discuss with us this morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you. We're hanging in.
I'm standing outside, and you're right. It is very smoky today.
And are you up at Benton? Benton? By the doggy park, Benton Air Park.
Yes, I'm at the Benton Airport right now. But I just wanted to let you know that we're having a protest car show tomorrow.
A protest car show?
Protest car show tomorrow.
And how does that work?
Well, we park a bunch of cars and planes, and we're following Shasta County's guidelines for a peaceful protest. So, it'll be a safe place to be. And there will be a $10 or $5, just a $10 donation for cars and $10 donation for spectators. As a donation to help cover costs. And it'll be a fun day if you can come out, except for the smoke.
Yeah. What time does it start?
Oh, starts at 8 a.m.
Okay, so starting tomorrow at 8 a.m. at the Benton Airpark, you can be part of a peaceful protest and going out, and it looks like a car show and an airplane show. But it's not. It is a protest, and this is one of the few protests where you have to pay. You can pay $10 to protest.
A donation.
That's right. A donation for $10 to walk around and protest the cars, and then also a $10 donation to walk around and protest the aircraft.
$5
for that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If I'm going to be in a protest, this sounds like a protest I want to be in.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun, too. Yeah.
And everything will be spread out, so you're going to have the social distancing.
We have the
And you encourage masks and all that.
Yes. Yeah, we have Shasta County guidelines that we're going with.
Yep. Okay. So that's.
So if you can come out, great.
Tomorrow morning starting at 8 o'clock. That's great.
Yeah, there's going to be a pancake breakfast, I believe, too.
Oh, so you can also get fed out there. What kind of, you know what, you guys are very thoughtful protesters. Not only do you feed people, you socially distance people, you have hand sanitation stations, you have you have masks, you have, you know, socially distanced. Now, this is my kind of protest. Not only that, you get to see a bunch of really cool cars and airplanes.
Yes, we will have a lot of cool cars there, so if you can come out, that would be great.
Okay, Rod. You know what? You never cease to break me up. Of all the years I've known you, and you've been in here, you're the only guy I know that when the when Kentucky Fried Chicken opened up and there were 2-hour lines. Remember that, everybody? How when Kentucky Fried Chicken opened up and it was 2-hour lines? What did Ron do? He was in line. He turns around, goes down, gets in his plane, flies up to Mount Shasta, gets a load of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and gets back all less than 2 hours.
Because he can.
Well, we did it in 42 minutes.
42 minutes. Okay. You know what? You could have been taking. You could have been selling Kentucky Fried Chicken a lot of that.
You know, I didn't think of doing that.
There you go. Okay, Ron, thanks a lot. We'll mention it again before the day's over.
Hey, thank you. You guys have a good day.
You bet. Okay, we're here with Bill Mastin, who is the retired fire captain, but he teaches at the Fire Academy. He is our go-to guy when it comes to fires. He predicted everything that was going to happen this week, including the number of firefighters that are here. He said, they're going to go for another 1,000. We had 1,700. We had 700 then. Now we have 20. Or we have 1,707. So you were off 7 people.
Well, that was an educated guess based on what the team.
Yeah.
You know, that resource request we had talked about. It was. That's how many people. They still need more. They still need more, but to pick it up. So.
People that want to stay and defend. Can you give us some information about that? They don't want to, they're told to evacuate, and they say, no, I'm going to try and protect my house.
Well, there's a huge dichotomy sometimes. If you have the wherewithal to stay and defend, and you know you have defensible space around you, and you have maybe some fire protection systems in place, whether it's a pond or a pump out of your pool, or there's this thing called a floato pump. It's a floating pump you can throw in a pool or a pond. The Forest Service uses it. Other fire agencies use them. You just have to make sure that you understand that there's going to reach a point that you cannot leave, and it's going to get really exciting. And I think from my experience, people don't understand what it looks like. It looks like Armageddon. The sparks get bigger. The wind starts blowing. Even if the wind isn't blowing, there are these convective columns, and you can hear trees breaking. The power goes out. There's this, looks like a laser light show at night with all of these sparks and everything bouncing off of everything. And then just all these little fires kicking up around you as it starts to envelop your property. Well, a lot of people aren't prepared for that. And then they want to, I call it break and run. You can't break and run. If we're up there, if they have firefighters up there, and the firefighters, it's so dangerous that they're going to leave. We used to tell them, hey, when we leave, you have to leave with us, because we don't think we would be able to survive up here. So you need to come with us as professionals. We're just warning you.
Yeah. Well, you know, people have this idea that, oh, if you keep our house wet and all that, it might keep my roof wet and I can protect my house. But, you know, the ones that I've heard of, mainly there's one part in it. It's like a retired firefighter who has the equipment, who maybe has the site, maybe for some reason
well,
has
might
the
have
hoses,
the background.
And he's got the background to know that he has been in fires before. But like you said, this is like your first time in a shooting war that, you know, your plan, that perfect plan you had goes to crap as soon as the first round is fired. So it's the same thing. When that fire is moving towards you, not in the direction you think, but it's coming from, you know, you all of a sudden you're in a 180 with it coming at you. Are you prepared to do that?
Well, and they think that they're just going to drive out. They're used to driving out the driveway and the road like they've been doing for maybe decades. And now there's fire on both sides of the road. There's trees down over the road. There's power lines down over the road. You can hardly see. I've had different companies I've been on, I've had them quit twice because the smoke was so thick it choked out the vehicles. I think people have seen a lot of...
choked out the vehicles.
That's right. It choked the diesel out and absolutely quit. And so they need to understand that if you get caught on that road, they might find you deceased in your vehicle or off the road. We have people drive off the road because they can't see. And now it goes from trying to save their structure to trying to save their life. So now we got to change tactics and go into rescue mode. Right.
And whether you're trying to rescue people, and there may be other people in trouble that, you know, you could have been there fighting that fire, trying to protect that area. The other thing, remember what happened in Paradise. The road starts to melt. The asphalt starts to crater. The plastic handles on some cars melted. This is how hot that fire gets. And people were driving through this. So if something like this happens, if they're telling you evacuate, you might want to evacuate, even if you've said, well, they've evacuated us 5 years in a row. We've never even gotten close. This could be the year.
Well, and if they take ordinate care, I mean, CAL FIRE does an excellent job on their website of telling you how to make your property defensible.
Sure.
That when we try to prep the neighborhood or prep the homes as we move up in there. Well, if we're caught in a traffic jam, like happens, you know, in PCH in Southern California, like in Paradise, is trying to get into the area with our engine companies and all these people are trying to get out, it becomes, you know, a SIG alert, like in Southern California. We can't get in, they can't get out.
Yeah.
We're delayed in getting up there. But if you have your home, you've done due diligence to protect it, it gives us a fighting chance, and we'll do everything we can to save that property. But if you've decided to stay, we need to know that you're staying, and then we need to tell you, listen, you can't leave. Once this front hits, you can't leave. And a lot of people might panic and say, well, I got to get out now. And everybody's screaming at them, get out, get out, get out. Well, it's too late now. You've run out of time.
Yeah.
But you need to understand, if we leave, you got to leave with us, because we know it's not going to be survivable back here.
So. Right. We got to take a break here. We know somebody who's up in French Gulch, of course, friends of ours and yours, that when the fire teams came up to him, they came up and started the backfires on his property. And he chose to stay and fight. But you know what? It could have gone really, really wrong for him. But
well, we can talk about that a little bit more. Because if you do stay, you can help your neighbors by watching their property after we leave. So that's important, too. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Estate Granite, Mike Huber. With all this COVID going on, you're not traveling and you're kind of staying at home. Maybe you've started noticing things that need to be fixed around the house. Maybe it's time to get the counter surfaces in your kitchen, maybe things in your bathroom redone. Well, it's Mike Huber that you want to call. Mike Huber does incredible work. He's a local guy. He's been doing it over 16 years here in town. He's a veteran-owned business, and he does, like I said, just incredible work. He works by appointment only, so give him a call at 241-STONE, that's STONE, or check out estategranite.com. That's Estate Granite, Mike Huber. We'll be right back with Bill Mastin and Carl Linda Bott, 7:48 in the morning, 64 degrees, going up to 101 today.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers.
23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
Ad paid for by No on 23. Stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised, because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
We didn't start the fire. We didn't start the fire. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:52 in the morning. We're here with Bill Mastin. But before we start, they're going to have a rally tomorrow for a nationwide Make America Great Again rally and parades. And so if you want to participate in this, you head on down to Shasta Dam around 11 a.m. Decorate your cars, your kids, and yourselves. Free patriotic individually wrapped tattoos. Well, I assume that these are, fake tattoos. Will be handed out at the flagpole for all the kids and all the young at heart while supplies last. They're going to gather at the flagpole at noon for the Pledge of Allegiance, singing of the national anthem, and a prayer over the car parade. And then they're going to, they're not going to get out on main roads and all this, but they're going to have a parade there. So bring your flags and all that. I am more than happy to read out anything that, that the Democrats are doing for things for Biden if you just send me an email or give us a call. Okay, we're here with Bill Mastin. And Bill, we're going to talk about what comes next. Okay, we've got 47% of it contained, lots of people, more coming in, lots of airstrikes going on. So what comes next?
Excuse me. What will come next is they're actually doing it already. There's a There's these teams that go out. Actually, my wife Sandy's involved in a lot of this. They're called DINS teams. It's Disaster Inspection Specialists. They're teams of two, and they go out and validate that these properties have been damaged or destroyed. And they do a GPS, geographic positioning system, walk around these properties and do, you know, this is a single family dwelling. This is a residential commercial dwelling. They collect all this data to verify what was done as what we refer to as a windshield survey, which is the guys, as they moved through, they said, well, there was about 15 homes back in there that were lost. But that was kind of the first blush of how many homes. There might be 15, there might be 20, there might be 10. So these DINS teams, disaster inspector specialists, as they go in, and it's dangerous because, you know, stuff is still smoldering, there's still, you know, hazardous materials at some of these sites, there's trees falling, et cetera. They go in and do a hard count. They bring that information back, and that's where the team, like it's Kavanaugh's team for CAL FIRE, they get the hard number. So the insurance companies like to know that. All that's put into a GIS, a geographic information system. They can then do an estimate of a dollar loss because they can coordinate that with satellite imagery, and then there's a program they can run through that says, well, these structures are worth this much money, or if you had to replace them, that's kind of a different story, right? I bought it for $20,000, it's worth $200,000 to replace now. Mm-hmm. So now behind that, that's right behind the fire guys. They're doing that right now. Matter of fact, the Zog fire, as of last night, they were 62% complete with the DINS team trying to do these hard, validated counts on destruction involved in the Zog fire.
They probably use, what, satellite imagery to figure out how many buildings and homes are in.
But you have to have boots on the ground.
Right, these, but these, I mean, just getting it, when they say there's 1,500 structures in danger of it, is that from the on-the-ground count? Or is
sometimes they'll use census tract data, is they can bring that up, and it's a polygon on this GIS thing. It says within this polygon are 100 homes.
Okay.
So that's how that, you know, that's why census data is so important.
Yeah.
You know, and people need to do the census. Now, along with this, you know, we talked about this big organization for putting the fire out is undoubtedly right now they're putting another big organization together that was called a BEAR team, a Burned Area Erosion Emergency Rehab. And their whole job, when the rains come, we're going to have severe flooding potentially, is there could be more property damage and loss of life because of now we have all of these heavy rains come in these burned areas that need to be rehabbed ahead of time. So their whole job is to put in where the dozer lines have been cut, is to put in water bars and rehab that area. They use this stuff called wattle. It's like a boom, a straw boom to try to catch sediment. They build gabions, which is an old Roman rock basket to prevent erosion. So they will have teams that come in and rehab this area to try to prevent the erosion that will take place when the rains come, which is next week potentially for us.
Well, does this include when they're spraying this some kind of a slurry on the hillsides, which is supposed to be like grass seed and special kind of
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and there's a number of
That around Whiskeytown, right?
Yeah. Well,
they're contractors too.
Yeah, that do this. In fact, we know people who've done it, and but it's got to be native grass seed, which is it's very expensive.
I'll guarantee you they're ramping that up right now. They're ordering all of that. We also, like in Southern California, and they'll do it up here, is we did aerial seeding. So we'd use what was considered a light helicopter with this like big cedar to put, which they try to get light annuals some foothold to try to hold the rain back.
Right. Let me ask this real quick. This is what is CAL FIRE's role for prevention, and do they have policing abilities for properties to ensure defensible space?
Yes, they do. And we pay a tax. It's not a tax. I'm sorry. It's an assessment every year for a fire prevention inspection and if we're wildland safe. So CAL FIRE have teams that go out. They look at our property and says, hey, you've got good defensible space, or you don't, and you need to fix that. You need to pull this back.
Can they then give a citation to them?
They can.
If they don't do it.
And CAL FIRE has a law enforcement arm that has policing abilities.
You know what? That was a good question there, Tim and Stranger, because I didn't realize they had an enforcement arm, but I can understand this. They're out there saying you're endangering this whole area. Is there somebody on there?
There was.
Ron? Is Ron still there?
He's not there, but I have his question. He wanted to know, he has a big water tank, what kind of valve he needed to put on so firefighters could hook up to the tank.
Chris, well, we usually have, depending on how big the tank is, it's a 2.5-inch national standard thread. And tanks are great because if they're up on the hillside, they're gravity-fed, so we do not rely on any electricity. And usually it's the amount of gallons in that tank directly relates to how much water we need to put that house fire out.
Okay.
So it's called it's a gallonage flow. So how many gallons do I need?
But so that answers your question. Yeah, it's just a national thread. It's 2.5 inches that they can then hook into. I imagine you also use swimming pools and everything else.
Yes.
Yes.
We have adductors. We have, there's a whole bunch of stuff, floating pumps.
Bill Mastin, thank you so much. I'm going to see if we can't get you back again next week when you're clear.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Thanks,
we'll be right
Bill.
Back.
You're welcome.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
That we have a president that is not only on the job, will remain on the job, and I'm optimistic that he'll have a very quick and speedy recovery.
Both the President and First Lady have entered a period of quarantine now. Vice President Mike Pence and Second Lady Karen Pence, meanwhile, have tested negative for COVID-19 today. President Trump's diagnosis is already upending his campaign schedule. More on that from White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
After the president confirmed that he and his wife are quarantining after testing positive for the coronavirus, his Friday schedule was adjusted. A fundraiser in Washington and a Florida rally were canceled. The president had been traveling extensively and was expected to continue an aggressive campaign schedule, but all of that's up in the air now, including two more scheduled debates with Joe Biden.
As White House correspondent Greg Cluxton, news of the president's infection drew this response from Cheryl, a caller from Sarasota, Florida, calling into the Salem Radio Conservative Talk Show, the Captain's America Third Watch with Captain Matt Bruce on AM 860, The Answer in Tampa, Florida.
No one is above and beyond prayer, and even though I might not always agree with the president, I would always be glad to keep him in prayer.
The president is 74 years old. That puts him at higher risk of serious complications related to coronavirus. In the final jobs report before the November 3rd presidential election, the nation's unemployment rate fell by 0.5% to 7.9%. On Wall Street right now, the Dow's struggling. It's down by 213 points. The NASDAQ down 132. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. I'm still not famous, but you might remember that I started Harry's because I was tired of overpaying for razors. It always felt like big brands were taking advantage of us. Every time they improved something back then, prices seemed to go up. At Harry's, we take a different approach. Today, I'm proud to introduce our sharpest blades ever, available at the same price as before, as low as $2 each. They're a new, sharper version of our German-engineered blades. Guys who shave 4 days a week have told us that with our new blades, their eighth shave is as smooth as their first. And we stand by that with 100% money-back quality guarantee at Harrys.com. Millions have already made the switch to Harry's, and we hope you will too with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set featuring our new, sharper blade, a weighted razor handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to Harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's Harrys.com, code 3388.
Mexican workers have confounded economists by sending home huge sums of money during the coronavirus pandemic.
Experts had predicted that as the American economy took a dive, migrant workers would send their families less money, known as remittances. But payments from Mexican workers in August amounted to $3.57 billion, the second highest level on record for a single month. Economists say their original forecasts underestimated the strength of human networks between Mexican migrants in the U.S. and their families back home.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The winds are getting stronger in California's wine country. That's threatening to escalate a massive wildfire that's burned for days and destroyed hundreds of buildings already. The glass fire burning north of San Francisco is still burning near Calistoga. That's a small town known for its hot springs, mud baths, and wineries. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Charlottesville, Virginia is thinking about removing a statue commemorating the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Concerns the statue that includes a crouching Shoshone tribe interpreter, Sacagawea, shows her in a subordinate position while others claim she's tracking. The Charlottesville City Council directed staff to create a plan for the statue's removal after consulting with Native Americans and some of Sacagawea's descendants. The discussion falls in the wake of years-long efforts to remove a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from the city. Ron DeRockster reporting.
The U.S. Supreme Court says it will review a 2016 Arizona law that bars anybody but a family member or caregiver from returning another person's early ballot. The law remains in effect through the presidential election and until the justices rule. A federal appeals court said in January the law banning so-called ballot harvesting violates the Voting Rights Act and the U.S. Constitution. More details on all these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, so you can hop onto your computer or your iPhone and listen to us anywhere. Of course, I'm here with Linda, and Jared's at the helm here. And so, Linda, what's the weather look like there, kiddo?
I'm checking it out right now. It's currently 65 degrees in the downtown studios. Today, it looks like our temperatures are going to get to be about 101. Of course, it's a smoky day. Hopefully, it'll clear up later this afternoon with our overnight lows of 65. Tomorrow, calls for 100 degrees. That's Saturday with our overnight lows of 62. And then on Sunday, it's 90. We'll be about 93. Coming back in 94 on Monday. And then, of course, next weekend, it looks like we have scattered clouds, cloudy days with 88s and 82s. Anyway, so that's what our temperature is today throughout the week. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And I want to do a shout-out to Holiday Harbor. Last night when I did my show, North State Now, I was talking about Kevin Kelly and the crew out at Holiday Harbor. Now, what we love about Holiday Harbor, let's just go down the list. Number one, locally owned. This is a privately owned harbor. And the people that have worked there years and years and years, they've worked there, Kevin Kelly being the manager and operator of it. And treats this harbor as if it was his own child. And has just been wonderful. And we love to the boats, the houseboats are, and all of their equipment is just marvelous. And they're doing all of the safety precautions. Plus, Kevin has said that they were working 14-hour days, 7 days a week. Overtime, everybody was just all in it. And that's the kind of team that's at Holiday Harbor. And we're going to be going down and out the next couple days here. I know it's smoky, but we're still going to engage in what it is to, you know, again, shop local, stay local. It's so important that we support our local businesses and that we, again, go to our local restaurants, shop in our local stores, because the tax dollars, you know, we need that locally. So I just need to do the shout out to Holiday Harbor and Kevin Kelly and the gang. I'll see you later today.
Okay. Congressman Moffitt, we were told, is calling in. We have a few more minutes. We've got another guest kind of lined up. It's kind of standing there in case Congressman Moffitt doesn't call or can't call in the next couple minutes. As probably everybody knows at this point, President Trump and the First Lady have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. It should be. What's that mean? Does, you know, if the next debate, how will that be handled?
I don't know. It says, you know, according to one of the articles I'm looking at, he's going to be working from isolation. And
yeah, hey, on the phone is Congressman Doug LaMalford. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Well, we are COVID free as of this moment. However, considering that the president and the first lady in the White House have got it. Looks like they might have caught it from one of their staffers that works with them. Wow. What's that do? What impact is that going to have on the election?
None. You know Trump.
That's true.
You think it's going to slow him up that much?
Well,
I mean,
no.
He'll do some video stuff for a few days and say, no, I don't have it. He'll probably not play the 14 days, you know, but I don't know. You know, there'll probably be a lot of peer pressure to play the 14-day game here, so yeah. Who knows.
Let me ask you a question. I'm sure you watched the debate the other night. A lot of this is the time that I saw both President Trump and former Vice President Biden. I think kind of united the country in the sense that everybody went, "What the hell did I just see?" What's your take on this?
I think the third choice that a lot of people are saying is just please shoot me, right?
So. You know what? That's when you wish you had either the wine franchise or the Jack Daniel franchise that night. Because people were like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the take the shots, like, you know, with Biden says, come on, man, or look, you know, or whatever. And a president, I don't know what drinking game.
Well, it's fabulous or the best or the greatest, something like that. You know, it's in there. A lot of stuff has come up, and I think people just want to hear what they want to hear. But when they said he did not denounce racism, I tell people you need
how
to go back.
How many times do you have to denounce racism?
I don't know.
Okay, how many times do you have to say it? It's just a game these guys are playing. You know, like. How many times do you or I have to do it, Carl? I mean, not maybe we don't get asked very often, but, you know, so, you know, duh, of course. Anybody that has a brain or a feeling is against it, and if you're out there for it, then you're probably in the Klan or something. So, you know, what's so tough about this thing?
Well, Chris Wallace asked him that, but Chris Wallace asked him that same question back in the last election, and he was very thorough on saying how he did denounce white supremacy,
well,
the Ku Klux Klan.
By Chris Wallace.
Well,
you know, it was just uncalled for. He should have been. I mean, if you really wanted to know something, at the very equal, he would have asked Biden. So, what do you think we should be doing about this Antifa and BLM burn and everything? Now, should have asked him that. You know.
Well.
But,
Well, and they did.
He just wanted to bait Trump with that deal. So I thought it was a real jackass move.
It because Wallace himself has asked that before and gotten a very thorough, long answer on this. And then to me, you know, people didn't want to hear it. And when he did it, and because he said, they used the word Proud Boys. Well, you know, if you look at. It's just what it did was they didn't accept the answer that was there, which has been the main comments. Oh, he refused to denounce white supremacy and racism. Well, yeah, he did. Just listen to it. Just listen to what he said. Anyway.
No, it's silliness at best, and it's biased journalism at its worst. So.
Oh yeah, New York Times today came out and said that Trump shouldn't be on the. He probably should withdraw. From the election because he's got coronavirus.
New York Times is a fish wrap, so nobody takes them serious.
Hey, we're gonna take an early break here, Congressman, because I want to come back and I want to get your feeling about what's happening. I mean, I've been seeing some press releases that we've been getting some good news about what's happening up here in the North State, and I like to kind of let people wrap their arms around that. Some of the things you push through, and what your take is for the next few weeks about what's happening in the country. Okay.
All right. Well, it's perfect timing because I have to step in and vote right now. So.
Oh, you're back in D.C. right now. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So are you going to be back in 3 minutes? Anyway, hey.
I'll be back in two shakes of the lamb tail, so it'll be perfect. So
okay,
I'll
great.
Probably be bored with your ads before you'll be back.
Okay,
or I'll be back. So
all right,
whatever.
Okay, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Community oriented, it is locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. They were heroes during the Paycheck Protection Program, helping not only their customers but many others. They are continually wanting to move people's dreams forward. Once a month, we'll have somebody on here, a business that Cornerstone Community Bank is helping. We learn about the business. We learn about, you know, how they started a local business, because that's what we should be doing. We need to support our local businesses, my friends. Learn more, though, about Cornerstone Community Bank, you can go online at bankcornerstone.com, but I recommend you stop in one of their branches. If you're in Red Bluff, it's at 500 Riverside Way. Right here in Redding, it's at 1845 California Street, right in the heart of downtown Redding. And the main branch is at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Old Rayleigh Shopping Center. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. 8:14 in the morning, air quality index is unhealthy for special groups.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA2 Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance, as well as community education services. PSA2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA2 HICAP services for more information, 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official administration for community living policy.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, health care, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz, the state senate. ID number 1423306.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web, river-commons.com.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR this morning, this Friday morning, October 2nd. 8:18 in the morning here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. This is Carla Linda Bott, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield and Repair. Now, Crackmaster, Jeff, who owns Crackmaster, a veteran-owned business, knows the ins and outs of proper windshield repair. Now, you may have a chip, you may have a crack. We're going to go from winter from spring, from, excuse me, summer with this heat into winter. Air conditioning before you know it, and you know that's going to grow. So he's located on Market Street. But let's get to the phones. Back with Doug LaMalfa. How you doing?
Real good. How are you?
You know what? When you say that you can vote, so this is a bill.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're voting on stuff right now. Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, it's something you've already studied and all that, so it's and so you run back in there and what, you push a button?
We went over. It's a couple of dumb resolutions today, so it's not really binding law.
Uh-huh.
Last night we did the one where Mrs. P wants to add $2.4 trillion more to COVID spending, so I voted no on that.
Well, I saw that there was a lot more than just COVID spending in that bill.
That's what they're trying to wrap it up in. So I'm going to get yelled at like, well, Doug LaMalfa is against small businesses and helping people with COVID. Like, well, you know, I'm also against horrendous debt that's getting spent on things that are unrelated to try and help people out of this
right,
too.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, you saw, you know, Mnuchin and the White House were trying to negotiate something that was a little closer to what we call being over target, you know, and, you know, I don't want to be too comfortable with voting for things that have the word trillion in them, okay?
Yeah. A trillion here and a trillion there adds up.
Yeah, this is, you know, billions is one thing, which you don't want to get jaded on billions either, guys. And it's just, you know, this is... So the trillion is usually something reserved for an annual budget, an annual large appropriation that's going to be the whole country. And we've just added, you know, at the end of this, at least $3 trillion already, and that stacks right on top of the national debt, you know. So,
now, Congressman, of course, news has come out that the President and First Lady both have tested positive for coronavirus. So what's the general mood with? Is it disconcerting right before the election that this is happening? And, of course, they have to go through their 14-day quarantine. I mean, what's the general mood going through the quarters right now?
I think the president will be more active even during this than Biden is with his basement tactics. So I don't see it as that big of a deal as far as, you know, the implications on election and the timeline here, because he can still communicate if people want to hear it. Now, it might blow up this upcoming debate they had scheduled, or maybe they can still figure out, maybe he'll do it on one camera and one empty room and Biden's in the other room, you know. Maybe it'll mean there'll be less interrupting back and forth.
Right.
They could do that. They could take them, you know, from separate spots. And then, here in radio land, we can always, you know, take the sound down on people. Yeah, it might be something that it's better than shock collars for both candidates.
I've always felt, you know, you watch any of these talk shows and you got four people on there and they're all yelling over each other. If I was the guy running the show, I would have a mic for each that I turn on. Okay, you're recognized. Say your piece. Thank you. Now we're going to go to you. Because you don't ever get a complete thought out of somebody. Why have people on if they're going to interrupt each other? Or some of these hosts even interrupt their own people because they want to look so smart, you know? So if you're going to have someone on the show, you must be bringing them on there because you want to hear something unique or new from that person. If you have your own show, you can talk for hours about on your own, and then, you know, and don't have to interrupt the guy. So it's just, I felt for a long time you need to have an on and off switch for everybody's mic so you can have a halfway good discourse and hear what someone's thoughts are if they are that interesting to bring onto the show, right?
Oh, no, that's the way you do it. And when people start interrupting, you can't hear either one of them, so you've got to get that under control somehow. Congressman,
because you get these trolls that come on there from, you know, I mean, they're practiced at it from, you know, when they send the party hitman out to be on the show, and they just start with the usual drivel, and then they'll start asking a question of someone else, you know, the guy just talks over, and soon you don't get any information out of that, because the other guy's programmed to just talk over them. So, as far as the debate goes, yeah, I wish they would just finish their thoughts and then people become a little more, if there's any information to glean from them. And I mean, I'm not, I've always done candidate forums and such, but in recent years with all this resist movement and all this, where they just basically you're just stalking the people with the cheerlead or juice or beer, boo or jeer, the person they don't like, I think they've become just a lot less productive. So, you know, nobody learns anything from them.
Okay. The Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing, and then now Barrett being put nominated as a Supreme Court justice. What's your feeling for that? Sure. What's going on back there?
Well, the Democrats have been deathly afraid of Trump or any Republican getting to do more picks, and you see they're all into this because, in their opposition, they're making stuff about Judge Barrett, who's just amazing, talking about her Catholic faith and such, and. I'm not Catholic, but I still defend that, she's allowed to have faith as part of her life. And I think for most people, their faith to some extent guides them, but you can still separate how that means from policy. It defines your morals. It defines a lot of who you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, but they're trying to hang all this stuff on her, this handmaid's tale nonsense, with that. So I think, and it just shows how desperate the Dems are to use the courts to get their stuff done because they, up until very recently, they knew they couldn't pass these things legislatively and then have their people be able to stand for election. Now, in California, what they're doing in Sacramento, there doesn't seem to be anything they can pass that's going to make the public unelect them. I mean, you see the stuff there, the governor signing lately, the legislature sent him in the last 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
Blanking amazing. Okay, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the last one was that they're going to require corporate boards to have, a year ago was you have to a certain amount of females on the board. Now you're going to have to require people to be on your corporate board of certain, color or, race or whatever.
Yeah, they said so people of color and women.
You're no longer picking a board. You're picking a diversity coalition. And there's nothing wrong with diversity. But you pick people based on the merit or the experience they have or whatever. Now you're just, it's an insult to a lot of people. So, and that's just the latest. You signed that one. You see what's going on. California, there really doesn't seem to be a political price to pay for any crazy legislation that the urban legislators send through Sacramento to the governor's desk. So,
No.
I guess what I'm saying by all this is that that. Typically, there's been a price to pay, and the Dems trying to get things through court rulings, Roe v. Wade. They couldn't pass abortion back in those days, and so they got a court to do it for them. So now enough years have gone by that come used to abortion that way. So now states would be comfortable passing legislation in many states to have abortion on demand or paid for or whatever. So, it's just wearing down old values with the court system.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a caller. Hey, Ron, do you have a question for Congressman LaMalfa?
Yes, I do. due to the fires, there's thousands of board feet of lumber that's burned up. And people say that it can't be harvested, but I know it can be harvested because in the 60s I worked and we harvested a burnt forest. Anyhow, the lawyers for the conservation group stopped the harvest of the trees that have been burnt. And I'd like to know if, I don't know if you can just call up the Mr. President and say, I've got a suggestion, but if you could have a suggestion to him that he could override those the lawyers that are stopping the harvest so they could harvest those trees and the money that they harvest or the money that they would get from those harvested trees, I'd like to see it be able to be applied to the firefighting more trucks or more equipment and stuff like that. So anyhow,
okay, Ron.
Thank you very much.
I got it. Thanks a lot, Ron. So I don't know if you heard that clearly, but
I did.
Okay.
Perfectly sensible, Ron. Perfectly sensible. That we need to have the courts once and for all decide that a timber harvest or a timber salvage is kosher. Okay. Why do we have to relitigate it every single time? Because we've harvested trees before, we've salvaged trees before. So the only thing you should have to really negotiate is in a given landscape, what's the method you do that? You say 50 feet, 100 feet away, certain stream. If you got to them, an endangered owl sitting in a grove of trees, like, well, you'll try and work around the owl, but not every tree has an owl in it. So, but time after time, fire after fire, you know, there's one in Western Siskiyou, I think it was 2017, if I'm thinking right, that, they spent a year and a half or almost 2 years dithering because they have to study and they have to get permits to, be able to do any of the salvage there. Well, as Ron probably knows, and I think most of the call know, that you've got basically 6 months to a year to salvage the trees that are still salvageable after a fire. You know, the larger ones that, they still have value. They still they can still produce lumber from those a lot of those trees. And so the more time goes by, the more they become bug infested, or they get that, you know, blue inky look inside of them, or they just rot and you can't do anything with them. Now you have to dispose of them. So you have something that could at least turn a bit of income, and that income needs to be channeled back into the forest. You know, one way or the other, whether it's replanting, upgrading, keeping the roads maintained, the culverts and all that, or as the gentleman suggested, you know, firefighting equipment. Right now, Forest Service revenue goes straight into U.S. Treasury. And then we're always wondering why we're short on Forest Service firefighting dollars. Finally, we got that separated, you know, with the firefighting emergency fund doesn't come directly out of their normal operating fund, because that fund used to be about 20% of their whole budget. Now it's approaching, you know, 65% or somewhere around there of their annual budget is fighting fire. So, of course, they're not going to be able to do any green work or any planning or what have you. So what Ron says makes sense, and those are the kinds of things we're working at and chipping away at here if we can get the votes to do so here, or, you know, like we tried to do down in Sacramento. Yeah, the fires really have a death grip in Sacramento, and a pretty strong one here, too, on disallowing that. You know, there's 400,000 acres. I think it was one called the Ranch Fire at Mendocino, that area over there, a couple of years ago. 2 years of dithering they wanted to take 7,000 out of 400,000, or just right around 2%, and do a bunch of cleanup along roadways, you know, dead trees, or make sure they're cleared around roadways that have power lines on them, stuff like that. And they hauled it to court. Some, you know, coastal environmental group hauled it in court. The darn Ninth Circuit Court, a three-judge panel, said 2-1. No, you didn't do enough fire background on it. So you lost 2 years, and you lost the ability to do even just 2% of that. So we have a lot of nonsense still governing how forest policy is. We're all suffering for it right now.
Okay. Hey, Congressman, we got to take a break. Questions in the chat room, bills that you have pushed forward to help us out here with forestry, and two, your opponent has been leveling special interest accusations at you. So when we come back,
that's just the usual crap.
Yeah. I know, but when we come back, I'd like you to address those. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full service jewelry store in Reading. They are outstanding people there with a noteworthy choice of jewelry, from estate jewelry to Native American to more. All of this at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back with Congressman LaMaffa. 64 degrees out there, going up to over 100. It's smoky, and the air quality index is about 167.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for four more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Good morning and welcome back to our morning edition. It's Friday, the 2nd of October, 8:35 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Reading Home Helpers. Yes, if your loved one needs some extra help at home, recovering from an injury or surgery, give Home Helpers a call. You can go to homecomforthomehelpers.org or go to, readinghomehelpers.com or call Home Helpers at 226-8350.
Okay.
Congressman
Moffa, when we left, your opponents leveling special interest charges or accusations. I shouldn't say charges, but accusations.
What's that mean to you? When you hear that, what's that mean to you?
Okay, if you just listen to it, is that you are responding to people that give you lots of money, special interest. Isn't that what most people think? And you don't respond to other people.
I guess that's what would be made by that. So, a campaign costs, easily $500,000 or more. You could waste $1 million. You could waste $1.5 million, whatever the number is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a PAC or a group or, an organization donates $2,000 or $5,000 or $1,000 or something like that to your campaign because they like you and they think you're going the same direction as them, and can you be bought for that tiny of a percentage of what it takes to run a campaign? It's a ridiculous charge, but that's, and if that's what she's got to run on, then, I'm feeling pretty good. It isn't because of my terrible votes or terrible policy or that I'm a mean guy and never comes around the district or doesn't care about the people. That's stuff that it's just campaign time, but that's the nonsense you're going to hear. So special interest, isn't everybody's special interest. The people that support me generally be the ones are the ones that produce the things that people need or that we have abundantly in Northern California. So I get support from energy, I get support from timber, from agriculture, from people that produce hard products, auto manufacturers, auto dealers, people, these are all community things that provide jobs and provide an economy. She gets her stuff from Planned Parenthood, a bunch of money from what's called Act Blue, which is a national network of donors that shower Democrats that they like with money. So the charge is like, where you get big money from these people, that campaign said getting it from people that are used to giving it instead of having to go door to door and asking every mom and pop and grandma and grandpa for $100. I'd rather spend less time fundraising and get it over with instead of just constantly trying to chisel every person. Hey, I'm Doug. Want to send me $100? It's just really tiresome. But it's election time, so that's the nonsense they try and come up with in order to attack my integrity. Which, come attack me in person on that if you want to, because I'm going to have a very short answer for you.
One of the things that we talked about years ago, but I don't know if people understand it. When you hear farm subsidies, would you explain to people what farm subsidies do?
Well, first of all, they don't exist anymore because of the 2014 Farm Bill, which I helped craft and voted for. We got rid of what was
known at the time as the direct payment program,
right,
where checks would go out to growers of many types of commodities. And there's many growers, so, I'm one of tens of thousands of rice growers in the country, and there's also wheat, there's also oats, there's also soybeans, there's also barley, there's also lots of others that were in the program. So the program was around a lot longer than I was ever been around politics or even before I got out of school. So you're either in it or you're out, and you wither on the vine because the economics of agriculture required. You actually had to be in the program up until there was finally an act, a Freedom to Farm Act, which you could opt to do different things. You actually had to have units within the ag program to grow and sell. So you had to be part of it up until that point, somewhere in the 80s, early 90s. So, subsidies are what kept agriculture going when the market would be bad on a particular commodity. So it's a deal where it's always a fun thing to attack. And I've been hearing it ever since I had the ring for office. So, have to deal with it and say, yeah. But I also was one of the first ones to vote in 2014 to eliminate them. Now farmers have a insurance program, which insures the floor on price or insures on disasters if a crop really goes bad or, flood, whatever.
People need to understand, too, that if, we could be undersold by a country, so another country, which maybe is not our friend, that would, if they undersold us to the point that people went out of business, then we would be without a commodity that we've had.
And that isn't just ag products. It could be pharmaceuticals. It could be anything that China makes and undercuts us, or other, third world countries that they can come in and undercut us in any product. That's why what I really like about the president, he's willing to use trade policies to say, we want to build it here. We want to grow it here. We want to manufacture it here. Our pharmaceuticals, we're relying on somewhere around 90% to be made by China over here. Well, if they decide to shut the spigot off on that, how bad a way we would be for our health in this country. So, the president recognized this, and he's making moves to say, let's have a lot more production domestically of our important pharmaceuticals that help us keep us,
How did we let 90%
bad times to get back out?
Yeah,
that same goes with food, same goes with anything you would manufacture. I want it built here. I want it grown here, manufactured here. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, how could we, as a nation, let 90% of our pharmaceuticals be made in China? I mean, did anybody?
Because people want to shop cheap.
Yeah.
They want to shop price, that's freedom. That's called free trade, right? So I'm more interested in fair trade, and I'm also interested in smarter trade because we're going to really put ourselves out on an island here. If we let our food come from somewhere else, our energy come from somewhere else. Look at all this stuff where they want to have electric cars and, more and more green energy production come from only the types of generators. What I'm getting at is that we're going to have to mine more strategic minerals and rare earth type products that come from deep pit mines. And so, cobalt, whatever it is, to make batteries, to make electronics. We're going to rely a lot more on that if we keep going down this road of forcing people into electric cars. Where's all that product going to come from? Are we arrogantly in the country going to say, well, just please keep getting it from mines in Africa or Asia, where you get 11-year-old kids out there working, mining cobalt and stuff? Or are we going to produce our own stuff for our own products here and run our mines in this country ecologically wiser and sounder? But it's still, you're still going to have a mess of a mine there, that, to whatever extent that they don't have it all reclaimed. Are we going to do it here? Are we going to put that, make it someone else's problem? So when you hear these mandates of all electric cars, like our esteemed governor is trying to force, by 2035, there's a price, there's a counter to that. So, so you'll hear my opposition running around talking about all the green stuff, but no one, it all sounds easy. It sounds great in a 15-second soundbite. And when you look at an ad there, we were just talking earlier about special interests and subsidies and all that stuff, where they're trying to attack me. Well, yeah, my position requires some explanation and also requires people to listen a little bit too, instead of just going for a 15-second soundbite that says how bad each one is.
Congressman, the One of the things that Vice President Biden said is he's going to stop fracking. He's going to cut back on oil. For the first time that I can remember, we're actually energy independent. And it seems like that to me is much more safer for not just our economy, but also our national defense to be energy independent. What's your thought on that?
It's important to be energy independent, food independent, pharmaceutical independent, anything that we need in any kind of quantity to live our lives as citizens or what our military might need. You need all that stuff, at least in large enough percentages, grown, built domestically to ensure that no one can embargo you or, you know, hijack you in that sense. So is Joe Biden prepared to exponentially increase the number of open-pit mines to produce the electric cars and the solar cells and the windmill generators instead of what comes from, you know, natural gas, which we have so abundantly of? Our economy completely shifted when fracking was devised. Our natural gas, you know, there was a time where we were talking about importing compressed natural gas from other countries, liquefied, you know, and we were trying to set up ports to do that because we get it cheaper, put it in a very, very compressed form on ships and bring it over here. Well, we got the fracking figured out. Now we're an exporter of that, and we need to be helping Europe with cheap natural gas that we have so they're not buying it from Russia with their big pipeline. Well, how smart is that? Having Russia supply, have you be dependent on Russian energy if you're in Western Europe, the Germans or whoever. And, well, we don't like what your policy with NATO is or how we're acting back and forth. We can just shut the big ball valve of gas coming from Russia into Germany in the wintertime. All their manufacturing goes down and the people can't heat their homes. So I think it's an idiotic move to cut off the fracking from an energy standpoint, from a job standpoint, the economy, our independence we have. Because you know what? These plants burn extremely clean. The modern automobile is a very, very, very clean burning machine. And to be naively thinking that just replacing it all with these other forms, that electricity has to be generated somehow. They don't like nukes. They don't like hydro. They're trying to tear down our hydro dams up on Klamath and any other dam they can tear down. Klamath is perfectly clean. I mean, you know, hydro is perfectly clean. Nuclear is perfectly clean in its output. Yes, we have the spent fuel rods we kind of figure something out with, you know, and why don't we recycle those rods like they do in other places and utilize up to 90% of the spent fuel in that process. It ain't perfect, but, you know, you want to talk about zero CO2, those are two of them right there. And,
well, there have been environmental groups.
That CO2 is not a pollutant, okay? CO2 is a part of our atmosphere. Is needed by plant life. And so, you ever looked at a pie chart of what the elements are, Carl?
Yeah.
Linda?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's it look like to you? Well, for your listeners, we'll just go through it.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
You take a pie chart of what the elements of our atmosphere are, okay? 78% of our atmosphere is nitrogen. 21% of our atmosphere is oxygen. So we've already accounted for 99% of the atmosphere. Oh, well, Doug, where's all the CO2? CO2 is the big pollutant, climate change. Well, third place isn't CO2, it's argon at just under 1%. So now we use 99.93% of the atmosphere is those three things, not CO2. Fourth place is CO2. 0.04 of 1% is our atmosphere CO2 content. And that number has gone up over the years from 0.036. So it's not even a tenth of a percent. And this is what they want to completely change and control our lives and stand our economy on our heads over, is this little tiny bit of increase in CO2. And then you break that out, well, how much of it is man caused? How much is nature caused? They don't know. They're just making stuff up.
Well, I can't help but think that all these fires is releasing a lot of carbon into the air.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Congressman, we do have to take a break for just 2 minutes, and then we'll be right back. And I'd like to talk about, when we get back, your thought about what's going to be happening in this time up until the election. Mm-hmm. This portion of the show brought to you by, you know, Judy Maxwell was on our show the other day talking about insurance. You know, I learned a couple of things there. Things that you think that would be covered under personal property are up to a point. If you have valuable items in there, maybe it won't be covered. But and the problems with getting insurance. And then she said, this is how you can get insurance with help from the state. There is nobody that should not have fire insurance. And the state will lean in, and people like Judy Maxwell will lean in to make sure that you are covered. There's just so many things going on every year with fires. Do you know about all the different insurance plans? Well, Judy Maxwell has that, plus the health insurance plans. With the they're going to have the open enrollment. Do you know what kind of insurance you should have to supplement the insurance you have already? Maxwell Insurance and Financial is there to help you. They've been doing it since 1993. Give them a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back with Congressman LaMalfa.
Done. I've got a picture in the back of my mind of what I've lost and what I've won. I've survived every...
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and overregulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me. Pamela Swartz for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Congressman LaMalfa is with us today. We got like about 6 minutes left, Congressman. And, you know, the fact is that it just seems that the divisions and so much. What else could happen in the next 20 or so days before the election, 30 days before the election?
Well, I think, as we've seen in the year 2020, just about anything's possible. So
right.
Now we're waiting for Lassen and Shasta to erupt simultaneously and then the locusts to come, right?
God, don't say that. Do not say anything about volcanoes, because I don't have volcano insurance. I think I've got every other kind, but can you get volcano insurance? I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, I suppose Lloyd's of London or somebody would write it for you. Thought it up.
Gosh. So. This has been such a tough year for so many reasons. What do you see happening in 2021? I mean, you're not a fortune teller, but the election will be over, and do you think that we could, if Trump wins, they can actually move on?
Well, they've painted themselves so far into a corner these last 3.8 years of resist. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how they're going to extract themselves from that. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they have to be punished at the polls in order to say, well, that didn't work. I guess we better take a different tactic, right? And the White House, the tactic that they're taking is obviously been very harmful to accomplishing anything as a nation, as a Congress, as a government. So, the funny thing is, like, I'm standing near a colleague right now. She's a Democrat from one of the Southwest states. She's really nice, and we get along great, and we are able to find agreement on certain issues. So, you know, what you don't always see advertised on the news is that there's real work that does get done, and there's common ground. So I guess, can we make a bigger piece of common ground that we're standing on instead of just a small island? If Trump gets reelected, which I think things lean that direction, then they're going to have to accept it. You know, we had to accept Obama for 8 years, and you know, he didn't see our side, by and large, out there whining and protesting, burning things down. I mean, this Tea Party movement started because of Obama and the Obamacare takeover. And I think people were fearful of a very large, expanding, controlling government. And that's what motivated a lot of people. And so I think you're seeing the Trump train folks that are out there, and you know, all the rallies. You're seeing those folks are, there's some parallels in that. That they're just looking at what's going on, and they're tired of what their government's been trying to do to them, because they just want to have, you know, do their jobs and take care of their families and make their payments and
be
set up
alone.
Retirement and have a vacation, yeah. And just, you know, send their kids to college, all the basic stuff, and just be left the heck alone, you know, and own their guns and be able to go off-road, go fishing and go hunting without some controller down in some city that has no idea what it is, other than they want to put you, stack you up in tall apartment buildings and have you all in walkable neighborhoods so you can go down and get your little bit coffee and have your little bit job. You know, that's how people feel.
Let me ask this.
We have a very strong spirit up here of being against that. So what comes in 21, you know, it's really the outcome of the election and the makeup of the House and the Senate will help steer that direction. But some would say, well, we should, you know, elect a Democrat president to placate those that would start rioting the night the election results come in favor of Trump. And we wouldn't be surprised if that's what's happened, son. You know, the rioting will be when Amy Barrett gets confirmed. There'll be that round. And then if the president is reelected, which I think he will be, there'll be that round of rioting. So when does it all stop? Well, it stops when people are held accountable.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, the people who are doing the rioting would need to be criminally charged like they should have been a long time ago, instead of looking the other way in Minneapolis and Seattle and stuff like that.
Congressman, I want to ask this question. I should have asked it an hour ago, but I want to ask it, and I'll go over into our next show if we have to. But Joe Biden refused to say that he would that he was against packing the Supreme Court. But the other thing he said he would not answer was about doing away with the filibuster in the Senate. The impact on doing away with the filibuster would change the whole could change the whole structure of our country. Could you explain what that means? Doing away with the filibuster.
Yeah, the fastest way to say it is that. Most Senate legislation requires 60 votes to move the bill from debate to vote, right? So, and not a simple majority of 51 out of 100, requires 60. So, unless one party can have a 60-vote majority, which the Democrats did for a window of time during Obama's first 2 years, that's when they passed Obamacare, and they passed cash for clunkers, and they passed their so-called stimulus package, and a couple other things that would have, you know, they had 60 votes. And so, and they had the House majority and they had the White House. So that's how that happened. So when everybody is mad that we don't repeal Obamacare in its entirety as a unit. It's because we've never had 60 votes or enough Republicans with Democrats that would look at how Obamacare has failed and have the repeal. So that's a Senate rule that they have for 60 votes. Well, that Senate rule could be taken down any time. You saw Harry Reid a few years ago take down the 60-vote requirement to bring up nominations that the president makes to lower-level judges or cabinet or other positions in the federal government. He lowered that bar to 51. And then the following election, when the Republicans took the majority in the Senate, Mitch McConnell added, well, let's do that for Supreme Court justices, too, because, the president's not going to get anything out of these Democrats. And so they called that the nuclear option, but Harry Reid had just done it. So the final tick would be getting rid of the cloture vote requirement or the filibuster ability, and making that a 51 vote deal too. So that means whoever's in power, if there's a 51 vote majority for either side or 50-50 plus the vice president that's on your side, they can pass any bill out of the Senate. Some say, well, it should be. That's a consequence of elections, a consequence of majority. Well, it's been kind of a check and balance in the past, and it makes things harder to do. Is that good? Is that bad? A lot of people constitutionally feel like it shouldn't be just so easy to pass a bill because bills become bad. Bills become